passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One ohm at a time. And here this week, we're going to, as always, be bringing in a fun and interesting guest. Only we're going to be bringing back a fun and interesting guest to join us for this hour of the Dr. Kevin Show. But before we do that, I want to remind people first, we are a live call-in show. So call in, be part of the conversation. That's how you make a change in the world, by showing up, speaking out, being heard, and taking actions to help make yourself and the world a better place and a better person. You can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. Today's show is posted, pinned to the top of the page. You can write your questions and comments there. And when you're at my page, don't forget to like it. I am a likable guy. Trust me, because I just said so. We are going to start today's show as we start most of our shows, which is with today's hot topic. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, a hot topic is something that either warms the cockles of my heart or gets me hot and bothered under the collar. After I put out the hot topic, then we throw it at our guest, introduce our guest, and then we put the doctor, the Dr. Kevin screws on the desk and on our guest for the day, and make sure that we get just as much useful information out of him as he has to share. So, you know, today's hot under the topic, and oftentimes I don't even know what it's going to be until sometimes a minute before the show starts. And in this case, the one thing that had struck me was that there is yet another way in which we as a country are trying to deny people their rights. I know it's not a big surprise. I can hear the collective gasp as I say that sentence, as people go, no, no, not the Freedom for All USA. Absolutely. And this has to do with a very simple thing of that if a married same-sex couple, if one of them is not American, and that is the actual either sperm donor or the womb that the child took housing, then they're not willing to give them passports. They're not willing to give them passports. They're not willing to say that they're real American citizens. There is a lesbian couple right now in London. One is American, one is British. The American, the woman that had the child that was an American got a passport. The one that was housed in the British womb was not good enough to get a U.S. passport, even though they are legally married. It is just another way to do an end run and discriminate against people who are involved in same-sex alternative kinds of relationships. You know, this just gets old. It just gets old, and it's one of the reasons why I'm tired of having angry old white men running our country, being supported by a bunch of hypocrites that fly under a flag called Christianity. Not that all Christians are hypocrites, and there are some absolutely fabulous Christians. It's all the hypocritical Christians, the one that only espouse anything they can turn into a form of hate out of the Bible and Christianity, and use it to make sure that they punish people who are different from them. You know, haven't we just got old being a hateful nation? We condemn dictators and places that do genocide and do all these horrible things. And in our own way, we have a very powerful, let's hate who is not us group that has way too much power in this country. And we need to be working collectively that the message of every last major religion in the world is love. And if you're speaking hate, then don't be a hypocrite and try to tell us that this is part of your religious belief system, because hate is not part of anybody's religious belief system if you look at the original text. So there I am. I have got all hot and bothered under the collar again and the issue, and I will find the story and post it on the timeline, as I always do, so people can comment it. I'll read it more fully. But it's just the latest, hateful move by the Trump administration to twist things around to punish people that would not vote for them. And that's the sad part of how much political bullshit is going on today to punish the people that didn't vote for them. That being said, I'm going to bring in somebody who's probably going to tell me, well, I'm not political at all, so I don't know how to comment on this, but we'll find out. No, I'm just kidding. So we're bringing back Eric Vollweiler. Eric has been producing and marketing film festivals and entertainment events for over 14 years, over 50 different events in 9 different states. Eric's focus is on selling sponsorships, advertising, booking entertainment professionals, public relations, social media, and production. In 2019, our update, because Eric was with us in 2018, Eric has produced the Artists United Sundance Film Festival Mixer, which has his second event he produced at the Sundance Film Festival. He also is the marketing consultant on the Golden State Film Festival and the Artemis Women in Action Film Festival in Los Angeles. I want to hear about that one, the Artemis Women. Okay, that sounds interesting to me. As well as the Woods Hole Film Festival in Cape Cod, Eric will be producing a series of educational panels on filmmaking with top industry professionals at the Toronto International Film Festival and a filmmaker workshop in Chicago. You can find out more. We have got all sorts of links to him here on My Dr. Kevin on Facebook.com. Eric, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dr. Kevin?
Oh, I'm all fired up. Can't you tell?
Yeah. You know, again, regards to the hot topic, I agree with you 100%. I think that all religions deserve the right to be, everybody has a right to practice their own religions in this country. We all, my family background, they came through Ellis Island back in the day. It's sad how much it has changed over the years. Again, I'm definitely more of a liberal and I support everyone. I think everyone has a right to vote. And that's another thing. Hopefully for the next election coming up, we will have more people coming out to vote to get rid of this situation in our country, as you know. And hopefully it will change, because change is the most important thing. And I think, it's time to change back to a country where the people have a right, and it's not all about the politicians, it's about the people.
And it's very interesting because my regular listeners are probably taking bets that the next few words out of my mouth are going to be involved with the words Mayor Pete, who is really my candidate that I'm supporting this to get the Democratic nomination. But, he really wants to bring actual conversation back and civility and full sentences. Somebody said to me the other day, he actually does full sentences that are literal and intelligent. And it's like, yeah, what's he doing in politics? it's time. We need to hand over this to a new generation. I'm all for voting in a millennial president that has so much more on the ball than the current clown we're stuck with. That being said, I'm going to start, because you've gone through the take us outside the outside the box, and because when we did the first radio show, so I have a different set of questions for you this time that are going to be popping up. You probably prepared for the old ones because I'm sure that's what I sent you, but I know you'll roll with it. You'll roll with these questions. I know you will. So Eric, how much can the film industry change societal beliefs? I'd like to hear your thoughts on this because, you know, there's a lot of discussion, and obviously there's a lot of hostility these days going between Hollywood and Washington, D.C.
Right.
You see it in all the award shows and stuff like that. How responsible is Hollywood and filmmakers for changing the way society thinks, and should it have that much power? What do you think?
I think filmmaking, or if you look back to the beginning of filmmaking, and what was that, McCarthyism? Am I correct?
Oh, God, in the 50s. Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So I think, you know, showing – I think filmmakers – it's important that filmmakers do show, you know, real-life situations that hopefully that will provide change to our society for the better. And, you know, not just, you know, again, the blockbusters are different than indies, but, you know, when you're talking about documentary films that focus on, you know, women's rights or, you know, like mental illness, or, I mean, these films are so important to today's society because people, it's, you're educating through visual art, and education, of course, is the key to making a more better and peaceful society.
So what was the film? Because you're, I mean, we have all the stuff that you're producing these, you know, and promoting these film festivals, which I think is great. Anything that promotes and inspires the arts and artists of any kind, I'm a big, big fan of. And I want to make sure that you share some of the new things that you're doing in the film festivals this year. But before we go there, I want to find out, was there a certain moment, was there a film that made you say, this is the industry I want to be in? This is what I want to dedicate my life to. Was there a moment or a film that you saw or something that came together that led you to commit your life to the filmmaking industry?
To be straight up honest, I don't think there was ever a film. I think it was just the fact that I loved the industry and the business of entertainment. And my background was actually in theater. So, you know, back in high school and college, I was doing plays and musicals. And then I got involved with actually producing and doing PR for Broadway and Equity through internships and working with some amazing actresses, you know, Melba Moore and Betty Buckley. I got to work with both of those women, and they're amazing, really nice people. And I think when I transferred, it's funny, I was going to go to get my BA in theater arts management, and I ended up going to school for management communications. But what got me into the film industry really was casting. While I was going to Emerson College in Boston, and I interned for Boston Casting and Kevin Fennessy Casting, and got to work on a couple, you know, major motion pictures. And, you know, that experience there, you know, I think casting was really, it wasn't a movie, but it was really the casting aspect of, you know, working with so many types of different people, races, ethnicities, heights, sizes, and got me into love film and, you know, working in the film industry. And then my final internship was at DreamWorks Studios in LA, and understanding how the studio system works, you know, that right there was, I think, my overall, after I finished my internship, said, okay, this is the industry I want to work in.
Okay. So what part of the industry, if I said you could only work in one area of the industry, what one most calls you? What's the one that you said, if I just could do that and nothing else, and make a great living and, you know, create my path, which part of the industry? Because the film industry is a huge industry. I mean, not just huge as in the money it makes, but in the number of people and the number of different positions and roles and things you can do.
That's a really, it's a hard question because, like, you know, I've tried casting. At one point I was going to be a talent agent, but I said to myself I didn't want to wear a suit and tie and work in a mailroom. You know what I mean? That's where we start out, making not a lot of money. And, you know, I at one point I was going to be a personal assistant to a celebrity. I mean, you know, like these are different jobs that I had applied for. But I don't know. You know, I still think something that I've been involved sort of has been producing films, and it's something that I'm open-minded to getting more involved with. I think producing films would be exciting because it's sort of similar to producing events in a way, because you're going out and fundraising for financing films. The difference is, though, sometimes it takes years to find the money, where an event, you can do that in 6 months to a year, you know. So, but I've always had a passion, and I always really, you know, some of my greatest role models are film producers, because, you know, that's a very hard job. And it's, you know, a lot of those producers started out as PAs and worked their way up. But, so I would say a film producer.
Okay. I think that there's a lot of people who watch a movie, and when you get to the end credits and you see here was the executive producer, and sometimes you list one or two executive producers, and then you have a couple of producers, and then they go down, and usually I think it's the director. They know what the director does. They know kind of what the sound engineer does. They know what the camera operator does. They certainly know what the actors do. And, you know, they know what the chauffeur who drove Ms. or Mr. whoever around the lot. They knew what they did because they know what a chauffeur is. I don't think a lot of people really know what does a producer do. Can you share with my audience what is really the role of the producer?
Well, in Hollywood, we'll say it's different with movies and TV, right? There's a difference.
Okay. We have our music coming up, which means we've got our first break. We'll be right back to get the answer to our question from tonight's guest, Eric Vollweiler.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Own Time. Remember, we are a live call-in show. Tonight's guest is Eric Vollweiler. You can ask Eric or myself questions by calling in at 202-570-7057. We're talking about the film industry. We're talking about film festivals. We're talking about Eric's secret history as a film fanatic. Well, we haven't talked about that yet. I don't even know if that's a true statement, but I would assume it would be. Eric, you were just getting ready to talk to us and say, what the hell does an executive producer or a producer do? I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's literally just a name on the screen, and they go, okay, whatever, who's that?
I think, okay, so I want to, you know, again, this is really not all my background, but I do know, when you think of a producer in general, you think about the person that finds funding or finances to fund a film. So that's, I would say, a general definition. But then, for example, if Tom Cruise's manager says, okay, here's Tom Cruise, give me a producer's credit, you're going to take that because it's Tom Cruise. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's another aspect of that manager or that, you know, person involved with, say, the celebrity to get a credit on the film. For example, in TV, it's interesting. TV, when you think, the producers are usually the writers in television. So there's the difference where a screenwriter is not, a producer on a film. He's the screenwriter of the film. And then so I would say that is the information that I have and that I can offer right now.
Okay. So now sometimes in smaller independent films, you'll see that a screenwriter will also be a producer because they, from what I'm hearing, they probably were involved with the funding of raising their money to get the thing that they wrote produced.
Right.
Would that, am I thinking in the right way or am I cuckoo?
I think anybody that depending on how much they bring to the table, they usually will get, like, there's the associate producer and executive producer title. So yeah, I think any help with bringing that financial backing to the film will get you one of those three titles, depending overall on how much you raise. Or say, for example, you know, you bring in a celebrity or a star, maybe that producer would also get a credit because of the connection to the celebrity.
So it's somebody who brings value, some kind of value to the production, whether that's money or value in kind that is recognized.
Correct. Like if the Hilton offers, like, you know, to get product placement, and the Hilton gives, say, for an independent film, offers like 10 free rooms for all the actors and crew, you know, the person that did that deal would be considered a producer in an indie film.
So, but they actually don't have, under normal circumstances, they don't have a lot of say about the film. They don't have a lot of control over the film.
Oh, they do. Oh, yeah. The people, they're sort of, they work directly with the director. And, you know, the producers and director works directly together. But, I mean, overall, when it comes, the producers are at the end of the day, are the heads and the bosses of the motion picture or of the indie film.
And the more money you put in the checking account that is signing the checks that makes the film go, the more control you have.
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with yes on that one.
Okay. And so it's not just made up stuff that happened in old 1950s movies that an executive producer or somebody with a lot of money might get a a lover, a starlet, or somebody in get actually a role in the film. That actually still happens today. I mean, in my
There's stories today where, say somebody invests gets a role in the film.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. That does happen to me.
Okay. So I'm just curious about that. So Eric, tell us what you're doing now that's new and fun and interesting and is different than, or is it add on to what you were doing last time we spoke?
I'm really excited. This is my fourth event in Massachusetts, the Woods Hole Film Festival, which is its 28th annual year. It's one of the oldest film festivals in New England, actually. Actually, this is my fifth event. Sorry. My first internship on a film festival during my college days was Nantucket. So now I'm doing Nantucket and Woods Hole now. So, and then I also did the Rough Cuts Indie Film Conference 2 years in a row, and I did the Boston International Film Festival in Boston. But with Woods Hole, yeah, we have we have some amazing films, over 170 screenings, and it's taking place July 27th through August 3rd, and really excited. Jeff Daniels is acting in one of the films. So I think he's going to be our opening film.
Okay. So tell people, oh, go ahead.
Oh, do you want me to go through the list of films first? I mean, the festivals and events, and then we talk, or do you want to go individually? We talk after, or how do you want to do this?
You can go ahead and, so I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things, which is, tell us about some of the film festivals and why would one go to, why would somebody go to the Woods Hole Film Festival? If I'm like, I'm a filmaholic and I love independent films, and independent films really are different than big blockbuster, Avengers Endgame films. So they're a different animal, but also what delineates some of the, as you talk about these film festivals you're doing, why would I go to the Woods Hole, if I could only go to one, why would I choose to go to Woods Hole versus the Artemis Wood Action Film Festival? Like, tell us a little bit about what makes the different festivals. Are there themes to them? I know the difference between going to Disney and Universal. What's the difference between going to Woods Hole and the Artemis Wood Action Film Festival? Yeah. I keep on picking on.
Yeah, no, yeah, Artemis, it's a great festival. Okay, so Woods Hole is more of a all-around film festival, but it's definitely a more prestige, it's right in Cape Cod. As you know, if you've been to Cape Cod, so you understand, understand the environment. It's right on the ocean. And it's an older film festival.
It can be snotty, yeah.
Right. It can be snotty, yeah. Of course. They have a right. No, they're not. Actually, everybody that I'm working with are really nice people. I think it's being that it's 28 years does a lot. It's lasted that long. So being that it has lasted that long, that makes the film festival definitely more prestige and more, a festival you want to attend. The films that they get are actually, they're not all student films. You're getting really some amazing films from all around the globe. A lot of the films do have to do with the ocean and water, because it's in Cape Cod. So you have, and then, of course, New England, they'll have definitely a lot of films from New England. Now, Artemis, which is really awesome, the Artemis Women in Action Film Festival is more about stunt women, athletic sports, superhero women. So, it's all focused is women directors, women, screenwriters, women actresses, and women producers. So the festival is focused is all women, where Wood Toll, of course, is everyone. You know, it's a general festival. Now, the Hip Hop Film Festival, which I'm doing, I'm really excited about this. The Hip Hop Film Festival is not the focus, and that's in Harlem, New York, in New York City, and that's coming up August 1st through the 4th. You know, that festival's focus is actually the cultural and diversity of, you know, the camera around the hip hop scene. And, you know, it's not focused on just the hip hop music, but actually, you know, the culture and diversity of hip hop. And I'm really excited about that because we have films coming in from Israel, China, Japan, all around the globe, as well as throughout the U.S.
So what I'm going to ask you to do, either when the show is over or on our next break, is go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and under the comment section, if you want to post each of the individual shows you've got up coming up for the rest of 2019, any link you have to them and the dates as we're talking about them. That way our listeners, if they actually go, that one was really interesting, and they're trying to remember which one it was at what date, that they could go to the Facebook page and actually see that.
Okay.
So you have the Artemis, you have the Hip Hop, you have the Woods Hole. Woods Hole is more general. The Artemis thing sounds very fascinating to me. What other shows do you have coming up in the next 12 months or whatever?
Then I'm doing, like I said, the series of filmmaker panels, which are educational panels at the Toronto International Film Festival. One of our speakers is Rudy Langlassis. He's a producer. He did the Hurricane with Denzel Washington and Hotel Rwanda. He produced those two films. He's speaking on the panel, on one of the panels. We have some of the panels include distribution, financing, international production, women in film. I think there's a couple others. And that's going to be at the Hilton in Toronto. We don't have our date. That's to be announced. Then I have the New York State International Film Festival, which is in Albany, New York. It's the fourth year. And that's October 11th through the 12th. Those are all short films. And finally, I'm doing my third event. Go ahead.
So tell me about the New York,
The New York State International Film Festival.
And so how does that compare film-wise to Artemis, to Hip Hop, to Woods Hole?
Well, it's, you know, the New York State International Film Festival is only 2 days. Last hours, of course. We screen only short films where, you know, Artemis, Woods Hole, and the Hip Hop will shoot feature, you know, they'll screen features. So that would be the difference is features and shorts. So that's one of the main differences, is that it's only a short film festival.
Okay. But it's international. It's going to have films from around the world. Define what a short is to the audience. If somebody out there was going to go see a short, what would they expect?
You have documentaries, animation, dramas, comedy. You know, I mean, there's all different genres, of course, with shorts as well as features. And so I guess, you know, when we get, as all film festivals, you know, do programming, there's either the board or there's a couple programmers that have to watch numerous of films. They pick the best, and the best are always going to be screened at the festivals. So back to your question about these shorts, I mean, I think, you know, one thing is that, you know, there are some really good short films out there. And usually, I don't know if you know this, but a short is sort of the gateway to the feature film. So it's sort of the, you know, no matter if that short film will become the feature or it's just practice to become a feature film in the future.
Okay. So give me the parameters. I'm going to shoot a short. And what is that, 15 minutes? Are there different short categories? Like what defines a short?
Again, I think the time, it's time, you know, how many minutes. I don't know the exacts, but I'm thinking around between 1.5 an hour. It could even go over a little. But I think that's sort of the ballpark around how the, it's about timing of a short film, you know, and how much time it is. Sometimes filmmakers have to go back and edit to make sure that it fits the timing.
Okay.
You know, when they're submitting.
And are there multiple categories of shorts? Like,
oh yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Are there shorts that are?
There's all different types of genres, correct?
Yes. I'm sorry. Did I say genres? I'm talking about, like, so is there a category that's under a half an hour, a category that's over a half an hour, or are they all lumped into one? I'm just trying to educate. You know, shorts are one of those things we hear about. You see that they get an Academy Award, even if it's only mentioned. But I think that a lot of people don't know what a short is. Now, you said it's a gateway. People do a short and hoping that somebody's going to pick up the storyline and go, you know, let's make a major out of this, if I heard you correctly, right?
Yeah, feature film, correct.
Yeah, feature film. But I was wondering if there were, like, time categories of shorts, or if they're all just shorts if they're under a certain length of time.
It's usually it's all there's a certain amount of time that each festival asks for.
Okay, so a festival would define what it wants as a short, and that can change festival to festival.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Keep going. Yeah. Sorry.
And then my final event is actually my third event at Sundance. The cool thing about doing all these events at Sundance was I was an apprentice. I was back in 2002, I was a volunteer, and now I'm doing my third event at Sundance. So I guess that says something. But I'm going to be working again with Artemis United.
Okay, we're going to get back to that. We're going into break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about Sundance, Artemis United, and filmmaking.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on Ohm Times. So the we have today Eric Vollweiler. Eric has been producing and marketing film festivals and entertainment events for over 14 years, over 50 different events in 9 different states. We were just talking to Eric about some special events he's running at the Sundance Film Festival. And you can call in if you have a question about filmmaking, about film festivals, if you have any questions at all for either Eric or I, and you would do that at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So, Eric, so you were starting to tell us about this this event you were doing with Artemis United, which is connected to the Artemis Film Festival, is it? Or is it something completely different?
It's something completely different. It's Artemis United is based in Oakland, California. Holly Million is the founder, and they have over 35,000 artists from around the world. And
okay.
10,000 happen, yeah, there's over 35,000 members, and 10,000 happen to be filmmakers.
Okay.
And I'm doing my second event for them at Sundance, which is to get more members and to promote, you know, filmmaking, screenwriting, directing, producing, acting, and to bring more members to Artists United. And that will be in January of 2020.
Okay. What makes it, would you say, I mean, the two film festivals people are most likely to hear about is Cannes and Sundance. Am I correct? Those are the two biggest ones?
I would say there's four. There's Sundance, Toronto, Cannes, and Tribeca. And then you could go to, you know, like South by Southwest, the Palm Springs International Film Festival, Durango, I think that's in Colorado. You know, there's, and then, of course, you know, there's different tiers of film festivals, but the ones I just mentioned are sort of the top-notch, you know, prestige. They've been around the longest.
So now, have you at least attended all of these film festivals?
I've never been to Cannes. I've been to Tribeca, Sundance. I did go to Toronto, but I didn't really attend the festival when I was there, but I was there for the festival. So, you know, that was the plan. And I've been to the Palm Springs International Festival. You know, I've been to a lot of different film festivals, but, the best part about them is everybody there is creative, talented, they're all passionate, and they love what they do. And I think you meet some of the most incredible people, not just, you know, the filmmakers, but also the film lovers are really great. You know, the audience is always really great, too, so. And it's very diversity. Like, that's the one thing about film festivals. Like, if you think of the U.S., a film festival is the United States. It should be the U.S. It would be coming to a film festival near you.
So now, you've also done some filmmaking, have you not?
I've been involved with kind of associate producing and, you know, very on a smaller level. Nothing big. I mean, it is still one of my passions, but I don't know if I really want to get it. It's something where I think, well, I would like to produce films, but I don't know if it's really what I want to do. Like I said before, it takes longer than events, and events are easier. Like, I love live events because, again, you know, my background was theater, and, you know, that's live performance. And so, I'm still trying to figure figure out what's next. I mean, one of my biggest passions, and I want to do more of this when I can, is working with inner city children in the arts. And I've been able to do that in Boston, Los Angeles, and upstate New York. And, you know, bringing, no matter if it's filmmaking, dance, theater, hip hop music, you know, being able to help these children get away from violence and drugs. Like, that is, as we say in Judaism, a mitzvah. And that's something that, when I'm able to do that more, that's what I really want to pursue, besides the, you know, working in the entertainment industry.
So, offering children respite from unhealthy and violent environments.
Helping them get away from that, right. Helping them change their futures to make it, you know, to make that, you know, the arts is like a safe haven, as in a way, you know what I mean? Like sports are too. You can consider sports as well and music, but making that, you know, available to them. And I would probably do more of like fundraising, financing for that. And actually, I've got to work, you know, with bringing celebrities involved, which a lot of celebrities do, you know, support children in the arts too. So, you know, that's something I really want to sort of combine maybe in the future.
Okay. Well, so now this also sounds something that could be benefited, and maybe it already exists, but, you know, this is what I think of as a good thing to kind of tie up into some kind of documentary of that helps spread the awareness of how programs like bringing the arts to these inner city kids can get, you know, can keep a kid from ending up on the street, ending up in a gang, ending up, you know, pregnant at 14, or end up dead. Or, you know,
right.
A drug dealer or a drug addict. And, you know, to me, this sounds like, you know, when I think of one of the most powerful things about the film industry is comes in from the arm of the documentary, that when it can be, when you can get that documentary out, you can get it in front of people, can really change their view, can really get them involved, can really help them, you know, see that there's hope, or there's a change that can be made, or there's a way to shift when a lot of times people feel like, I know all this exists, but what can I do? I can't
right.
do anything to change that.
Right.
So,
I think a documentary would be a great thing to get out there and promote that to see. One thing I've learned is that it seems like if you're not in the inner city, you don't care about the inner city. Does that make sense? I've learned that from living
okay.
in suburbia, and like the suburbia, like the outlining, you know, where there's not a lot of diversity. You know, I
okay.
for example, I did some fundraising back for an event a couple years ago, and this guy's like, why would I want to give money to those kids? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, they need it more than the kids that are living in, you know, that have everything. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that's just my point of view. I wish more people would understand that, you know, they're human beings too, they're people, and they deserve what, you know, I wish everything was more equal, but, only, you know, as they say, one person can help create change, but hopefully more people will, you know, come on board, and it's the more numbers that will create the change. So.
Well, and you know, sometimes you just never know. I mean, that one guy said, why would I give to an inner city kid? But I don't believe that we can make a blanket statement that says suburbia doesn't care about inner city kids. But, you know, if you want to go to suburbia and you want to do a documentary and you want to bring in the arts to somehow help help a population in need, suburbia is the place where we have the fastest growing opioid crisis. And
I didn't, okay.
Oh yeah, it's hitting the upper high end, you know, white middle class, people the neighborhoods. I mean, the opiate crisis has devastated lots of upper class neighborhoods and middle class neighborhoods and whatever we consider good neighborhoods and safe neighborhoods. And how does this happen to our kids? And I think basic treating the arts like a bastard stepchild and underfunding it in public schools and even eliminating it or, you know, not having that as a way for kids to find and express their fear and their anger and their frustration. And, you know, in this current world we have, it's scary to be a child. And the media makes sure that you're afraid. I mean, let's face it, media gets ratings off scaring you.
Right.
And so I think that there's a lot of places where, you know, exposing and involving and using the arts as a tool of unification, a tool of healing, a tool of, you know, growing and expanding as a person to get some kind of understanding or insight that there's no us or them, there's just the we. Could be a very powerful program, could be a very powerful documentary, could be, when I say program, I don't mean like a TV program, I mean like a program, an outreach program.
Right.
But to tie it all together.
So
you were on the stage, you had some stage background. Do you ever want to be in front of the camera?
I like doing, you know, these podcasts and radio shows, and sometimes I'm on the news for promoting film festivals, but I'm enjoying it. I like it. It's fun. It's improv to me, you know what I mean? Because there's no real, for me, there's no real script. It's just, you know, I answer as clearly and honestly as I can. If I don't know something, I will let you know, but I don't know it. So,
yeah, I mean, you're talking to somebody who definitely loves improv.
Improv is so much fun.
I think I used to do improv, though. It was one of the areas that I enjoyed doing back in the day when I did theater back in the days of the Renaissance, it feels like now.
What was I going to say? I was going to ask, should I, I guess we have a couple more minutes, but do you want me to give people my information if they need to get a hold of me?
Yeah, if people want to give a hold, you feel free. It is on the Facebook page, but you're welcome to give people your information. Go ahead. How would they contact you?
Oh, great. Yeah, great. Well, you can find me on Facebook under Eric Vollweiler. I actually have a Facebook group called Film Festivals Produced and Marketed by Eric Vollweiler. I'm on Twitter under Eric Vollweiler and LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn, and that's where Dr. Kevin found me.
Yeah. I tracked you down. I said, I thought you sounded interesting. You said you must have been confused with somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, there is a power. I think that movies and television, in this day and age, sometimes even more television, can change the way America thinks, can get people to accept things that they didn't accept for, can expose people. And, you know, I mentioned before that the real power is to actually move away from us and them and into a we, and to show how we are more alike than different, and that there are a lot of powerful messages. And when we have such a divisive country right now, where we are being encouraged to dig into us and them and into hateful rhetoric and to encourage violence to the thems and to become sanctimonious with the us's, and that this is spiraling out of our White House, this kind of hate message, that it is more crucial than it's ever been for any kind of media, whether it's television or whether it's the independent films and the film festivals, which bring, you know, I'm sure millions of people between all of them every year, to expose them to new ideas or new thoughts or to expand a reality, or whether it's what's coming out of Hollywood, that we have a responsibility to try to heal this wound that's been created by our politics. Eric, thank you for coming on, and good luck with all your festivals. And maybe one of these days you'll see me showing up at one.
I hope so. Thank you.
Okay,
thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.